But in my morning reading this morning, the Lord brought something to my soul and a freshness that is very precious, and I am up here trusting that I am fulfilling that which has been expressed by our brothers, that this truly is the mind of the Lord. But I would say again, this is not a thought of an address this afternoon. I just want to share some thoughts that the Lord has made precious to me. Please turn, to begin with, to Exodus chapter 2. I'm going to look at an account that is very, very well known to us. And I just have a special phrase on my heart, and I'm going to read it in the three places that I believe it appears in the Word of God. The first is in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 2, and just the last few words of that verse. She hid him 3 months. Now please turn with me to Acts chapter 7, where we will again see those words. And Acts chapter 7 and verse 20, the end of the verse, nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And then the last one in Hebrews 11, and verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. I would like to this afternoon, for just a few moments, consider those 3 months. The Spirit of God has seen fit to record them at least these three times, not as a detail to be read and forgotten, but I believe as a detail to learn. What I have on my heart might be particularly applied this afternoon to those who are younger, especially to families with little ones. But I would like to for us all to allow the Spirit of God liberty in our hearts, if these things are made good to your heart this afternoon, to make the application of Moses. And it is, in fact, the protecting of Moses for those 3 months that I wish to talk about. But to make the application of Moses, to allow it to be made in any way the Spirit of God would make it. For, and what I mean by that is, I feel it would be acceptable to find in Moses that which will deliver, and because it will deliver the people of God, bring deliverance, is very, very exceedingly precious and beautiful. And if we look at it that way, if we look at Moses in that way, then we find that not only are we looking at our beloved children, but a case could certainly be made for application, for instance, to the assembly. Other areas, I'm not going to go into those areas, but I would like our hearts to allow the Spirit of God to make those applications as He will. I'm going to make some general observations, and as I said, these beloved brethren will be perhaps more applied to children and families. But I would like you to consider with me what happened during those 3 months. I do not know whether those are actual chronological 3 months. They may very likely be. Or if they represent a time period. But I do know this, that God gave those two parents, a son and a daughter of Levi, something exceedingly precious, exceedingly beautiful. Something that had been marked to be destroyed by the enemy of God's people. And because that had been marked for destruction, because that little one and all the others like him were marked for destruction by Pharaoh, we do well to see why it is that the enemy would take such pains to destroy a helpless little infant. And to learn from that what we can learn for our preservation and our blessing. I want to say at the outset that in Exodus chapter 1, we read about the midwives, and I only will say that verse 17, it says, "The midwives feared God and did not, as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive." I believe what I've really enjoyed from the reading meetings today is to see, I think this is an example of the grace of God. God in grace providing the means by which deliverance can be brought into the world and seeing that it is brought in. It's lovely. But the enemy comes in to assert himself. And so in that last verse of the first chapter it says, "And Pharaoh charged all his people." He is laying claim here to the people of God as well as the Egyptians. Some of them he treats as slaves in bondage, but he's going to lay claim to them. And this afternoon, there is an enemy that's going to lay claim to that which God has given as children, as a heritage, as that which is precious. He's going to lay claim to it and seek to claim it for himself. And he says, "Every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." I'm going to suggest this afternoon that a son represents strength, and a daughter represents fruitfulness. And the enemy of our souls will be very, very happy to gain and to use the fruitfulness of believers for its own ends, for his own ends. The world is very happy to get whatever fruit it can from Christians for its own ends, but it does not want strong Christians. It's going to do all that it can to destroy that which would give us spiritual strength to walk through this scene to the glory of God. And so the enemy of the children of Israel, the same enemy you and I have, is here this afternoon to say, whatever it is in your life, in your family, and mine, which represents spiritual strength, cast it into the river. Get it into the world. And let it succumb to all of the influences of that river of Egypt, the world, where it will die. And save the fruitfulness, because the world can use your fruitfulness and mine for its own ends. And then by the grace of God, we're presented with two people. And these people say, by faith, we learn later, no. We're not going to give in to that. And for 3 months, they have, as again I say, whatever that time period is, they have 3 months to preserve, to work with that little precious treasure that was given to them. Oh, beloved parents, how short a time you have with those little ones. 3 months. Not very long. What are they going to do with those 3 months? What do those 3 months represent? I believe they represent the three places we read in Scripture. And for want of time, we'll not go back. We may turn to them again. But I would like to suggest that those 3 months were used to preserve Moses through love. And we're going to look at that a little bit in this chapter. Through nourishment in his father's house. That, to me, is significant. His father's house. He was nourished. And so there was nourishing. And then it says his parents together, also very significant, for 3 months hid him. That's faith. And so with the mother is prominently mentioned here. In Exodus chapter 2, it's all what the mother and then a little bit what the daughter did. And I submit to you that's the love that's necessary in our hearts to have for that which is precious to Christ and needs to be preserved. It's not hard to love our children. I don't think there's a parent here who needs to be encouraged to love your children. But you know, the reality of the world we live in, that is fast, fast being lost. The love of many shall wax cold. Parents to their children. But perhaps there's something else. The Lord's stirring an exercise in your heart. It needs to be preserved in love. It needs to be preserved by being nourished in responsibility, and that's the Father's house. Responsibility to preserve that which God has given for deliverance. It needs to be preserved by being nourished, and it can only be preserved by faith. Only by living a life of faith and trusting God in a world that gives you not one encouragement to go forward in faith for the glory of God and preserve what's precious. In a world like that, there were parents who said, "We're not giving in to that. We're not afraid of what the prince of this world is commanding." And they took what was precious that was to be destroyed, ordained to be destroyed in that river, and they hid that precious treasure. Well, let's just briefly look in Exodus chapter 2 at love at work to preserve this treasure. She saw him, verse 2, that he was a goodly child, and she hid him 3 months. There's that word again, hid. But here it's the hiding of love. I am going to, as I said, make some direct applications to families. I want to speak to the beloved parents with little ones. If the Lord chooses to leave us here for 20 years. I trust he won't. It doesn't seem like he can. It hardly seems like he can for 20 minutes or 20 days. But should the Lord choose to leave us here for that span of time, all of the little ones in these chairs are going to be young adults. Many who are sitting in these chairs will be home in the Father's house. Do you love those precious little ones in view of that enough to, in love, hide them from what this world has to offer in that river? It is an expression, it is a step of love. It is not, first, I believe, a step of discipline or faithfulness or anything else. I believe, first of all, it is a step of love that would seek to preserve what Satan would seek to destroy. And so this mother, nothing in Scripture greater than, naturally speaking, than a mother's love. And this mother looked at that beautiful little child she had brought into this world, and she loved it. And she said, there's no way this world is going to destroy this treasure that God has given. And she hid it. That's how much she loved her child. Beloved parents, how much do you love your children? You can only answer that. Do you love them enough to hide them from what this world has in that river that's flowing by the door of your house? And then it goes on, and the time comes. She can't hide it any longer. And she prepares an ark. This is the time to be preparing that ark. And you know, real Christianity, the Christ of Christianity, our brother Chuck mentioned in Antioch, that was a term of derision. They were first called Christians. There's a Christ one. And they laughed. And they mocked. This woman, this mother, knew that what she was going to do was unpopular. So she took slime and pitch. She didn't make that ark look beautiful. It was no issue to her whether or not people around her accepted what she was doing. It was no issue to her whether or not people thought her Christianity was a good, socially acceptable, politically correct Christianity. She took pitch and slime and put it on that ark because she wasn't concerned about how the Christianity looked, if I can use it in that sense. She wanted to make sure it was waterproof, that the world didn't get in through it, that that river didn't seep in and sink that ark. There is nothing going to be attractive about the Christ of Christianity, this world. Brethren, parents, don't try to make it attractive. Enjoy Him for what He is, the one who has filled all of heaven, all of God's heart with joy and satisfaction and glory. That's enough. It doesn't matter what the world thinks. Make sure the pitch and the slime are there to keep the world out, not to make the world accept and approve. And she didn't put it out in the river. She didn't put it out there where the current would sweep it away. She put it in the flags. I'm not going to spend time on this, but I want to suggest this thought for parents. The flag seemed to me to represent the natural realm, which, if not overused, is right and proper. You can't deny the natural realm in bringing your children up. Thou shalt not see the kid in its mother's milk. Christianity was never meant to destroy the natural rights, the natural realm, I should say. And so there were flags there growing in that river, but in that very, what I call the influence of the world, those flags were there as a place of support to hide and support that little ark. And it was used. And they put the basket there. And until the time came when it was discovered by Pharaoh's daughter, it was kept there. It wasn't swept away in the world. You won't, beloved parents, always have control of your children. You find very fast that slips. I don't mean slips as a mistake. I mean it goes. It's in the natural course of events. The Lord Jesus went down and was subject to His parents, and He grew in wisdom and in stature and favor with God and men. But the time came at a certain age when He left that realm. And so the children are going to leave, but you don't need to put them out in the current of the world. God has provided the means by which that ark can be kept close to the shore, even though you may have to stand at a distance from it. Love does that. Love will do those things to preserve. And then it goes on, and love does something else. Verse 4, his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done with him. I just want to suggest this application. The mother couldn't be there. And so she sends her daughter, but her daughter can't stand right by that basket. She's standing a long ways away. I just want to make this application. Beloved parents, you can't always be with your children, but you can always watch over them through prayer. May God grant that every one of us, parents, grandparents, brothers and sisters in an assembly who will be blessed if the children in that assembly go on for the Lord, that all of us take the attitude of the sister, standing afar off but watching intently what is to become of that precious treasure hidden in that ark. And to finish up, it says here, when the maid, the little girl, saw what was going on, prayer does wonderful things, brethren. Prayer does wonderful things. And it says that she hits the mother. And the mother is given the wages. Let's read in verse 9. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, the mother, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. I'll never forget what Brother Albert Hayhoe said years ago. I heard him one time when I was just beginning, my beloved wife and I, to raise those two treasures that God gave us. I heard him say in a meeting, he often walked into homes where it said, take this child and nurse it for me. And he often saw that text, but he was surprised that the number of homes where he saw that text and the word away was left out. Take this child away and nurse it for me. I leave that to you, beloved parents, dear grandparents, beloved brethren, who have an interest in the precious treasure called children God has left, as to applying what it means to take this child away and nurse it. And then it goes on, and I think this is precious. I just saw this morning. Verse 10. I'm going to read this in the New Translation. And the woman took the child and nursed it, and when the child was grown, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter. How long a time did that mother have? All the time she needed. All the time love needs to preserve a precious treasure. When the child was grown, I don't know how many years that was, but that mother, in her love that wouldn't let that child go, had all the time she needed to raise that child. So that when the day came, we read that God put it in Moses' heart to visit the children of Israel. No, to visit his brethren. He got attached to God's people and never lost that attachment, though he was learned in all the wisdom of Pharaoh's house. Oh, let that encourage you, dear parents, and use it. Use fathers and mothers in love. Beloved brethren in love, reach out to children. I don't have to tell the parents to do that, but all of us in love. And we're going to find, as guided by the Lord, there will be the time needed to preserve that precious child. Now, just the other couple quick comments. Let's go to Acts chapter 7 and look there for a moment. The first thing we need in those 3 months, the first month you might say that child was with its parents, was characterized by love, as we've talked about. The second is characterized by responsibility and nourishment. And I want to say, beloved parents, and now I'm going to talk, though it's the father here, and I think that's very significant. There are other reasons, many other reasons, why in this particular, what's often called Stephen's apology, or his defense, why it is in his father's house. But this afternoon I want to talk, first of all, directly to fathers in this room. God has given you something precious in those children. Absolutely priceless, and the enemy of our souls knows, I think better than we do, how priceless those treasures are. And so it says in Acts chapter 7, in which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house. Beloved fathers, you have a solemn responsibility. A solemn responsibility this afternoon to provide a house that nourishes the treasure that God has given. I have no list of rules. I have no thoughts to tell you how to do that nourishing. I know this thing, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. That if you have a treasure that you want to preserve, and you see that you're responsible to do that, God has promised to give you the wisdom needed. There's no such thing as a list of rules to tell you how to do that, because the exercise has to start with your heart, beloved fathers, to say, I sense my responsibility before God to preserve these treasures. And I want my house to be a place of nourishing. Now, I am just enjoying the challenge, which I will never conquer, of learning to read biblical Greek. And it, as the old saying goes, right now is pretty much Greek to me, but I'm enjoying it and I'm learning and I'm finding some interesting things. And what I'm finding is very remarkable here. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 20, it says, Moses was nourished in his father's house. The very next verse, 21, says, and he was, when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him. And what I find beautiful about that is it's a different word in Greek. The nourishing that happened in the father's house is a kind of a nourishing that is lasting and is for the benefit of the child. And my very feeble, shallow understanding of Greek is that the kind of nourishing that Pharaoh's daughter did was for her own benefit, not for the child's benefit. Nourish those children for their own good. Beloved fathers, you are responsible to provide a house in which children can be nourished. And if God has given exercises of assembly care or other things, I will say that's applicable to Moses. And there are those here who as men are responsible to provide an environment to nourish that growth and that blessing, whether it's in the assembly or whatever it is, nourished in the Father's house. Well, we could say more, but let's go on to finish here. In Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, verse 23, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, or they saw the child beautiful. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. I don't know of a parent sitting here that doesn't look at their child and say, "This is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen." It would be some sort of a strange parent if you didn't think that of each one of your children. But they saw this child beautiful that way, but they saw this child beautiful too because this child represented deliverance for the people of God. And oh, beloved brethren, if we could look at the children and the young people that way, and to see that in coming years, should the Lord leave us here, we think He will not, we trust He will not, I hope our hearts are crying that He will come. But should He leave us here, the children and the young people sitting in this room are going to be the assembly. What about that? Is there faith to say of parents, not just the responsibility of a father or the love of a mother, but parents united together, a son of Levi and a daughter of Levi, Amram and Jochebed, a son and a daughter of Levi. They came from a similar background. They had similar exercises. They had similar desires. Can two walk together except they be agreed? They walked together, and in faith together they said, this child is beautiful, and we could care less what Pharaoh said. He's not going to get this child. Beloved brethren, it takes a house united. It takes a father and a mother together in similar exercises to hide their child from the enemy that would destroy. May God grant that fathers and mothers, that beloved brethren, come together in unity, seeking blessing and preservation for the treasures God has given. And so, they saw He was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. You know, I wish I could say more about not being afraid, but the only thing I could say is tell you how to be afraid, because that pretty much characterizes me by nature. But I read this verse and I get encouragement. That something as powerful, as horrible, as the prince and god of this world, I don't have to be afraid of Him, and neither do you. He's defeated foe. And the one who has defeated Him loves you and loves me and loves our children with an everlasting love, an eternal love. And we've been given all that we need to persevere against this foe victoriously. But I suppose there, more than any other time, it's a matter of faith. And not, as I often have happened to me, a wicked heart of unbelief. But may God grant, beloved brethren, I say again to the dear parents here, that you'll use these 3 months to preserve by love, by nourishment, and by faith the treasure that God has given to you. And I say to all of us, for the exercises of soul, the assemblies that we represent, all those things, that we might do the same. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. May God help us to look up at this one in heaven and see in that glory all that we need, and move forward not being afraid of the king's commandment.